You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Walking Dead Season 10 is over, but Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 and The Walking Dead World Beyond are just getting started here. So are we on the very mouthy podcast called Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond here on Post Show Recaps. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by my partner in all things zombie apocalyptic, Jessica Leese. Jess, what's going on?
I'm doing great, Josh. I have so many thoughts swirling in my head right now. It's like bees have come and built a hive inside my skull.
It's so gross. Jess and I, last week when we recapped season 10's finale in quotes of The Walking Dead, we promised, perhaps even threatened, that we would be back to talk about Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead World Beyond as we move forward through our modern day apocalypse of dearth of zombie shows to talk about. Well, it seems like there's a lot of zombie shows we can talk about. It's just, do you want to talk about them? Well, we do. We do want to talk about Fear. We do want to talk about World Beyond, Jess, and we're going to do that every week here in a combined podcast talking about the latest episodes of Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead World Beyond. So spoiler warning, if you are only watching one of those two shows or neither of those shows and you're just tuning into the podcast to get our takes on them, it's totally possible this is what you're doing here.
I hear we've got quite a few people. And I think we also need to have a content warning here because if you are watching either or both of these programs with an earnest love for the content and a sense of that these shows should be immune to criticism and or mockery, I think maybe this is...
There's got to be another podcast for you.
Yeah, there's got to be something else for you somewhere out there in the world, and I hope you find it.
Hopefully you don't have to travel across the continent to find that podcast, but I'm sure that podcast is out there. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be mean-spirited in here, but we might just not be taking things terribly seriously, and we're just trying to have a fun time with some zombies, and I think that's what we're aiming to do. And hey, Jess, I hear we're not alone. I hear that this week we have a very special guest joining us on our inaugural voyage through Fear the Walking Dead, World Beyond, the Julia Ormond of podcasting. It's the legendary Chappelle. Chappelle.
Well, if you wanted to take a podcast seriously, this is definitely not the place because I'm here. Thank you guys for having me. I am excited to talk about whatever this was that I watched.
You watched a couple of zombie shows, and we enlisted Chappelle because we're like, all right, well, how can we infuse this with Julia Ormond levels of star power to get people interested in listening to the Fear of the Walking Dead World Beyond podcast number one? And Chappelle is the hottest thing in podcasting since, I don't even know, since the wand off. We figured, all right.
Just as polarizing as the Wandoff as well.
I doubt it. I have a feeling that that's not true.
Definitely the podcast for you.
Sounds good. I think, according to one of the characters, I got 15 years left before we're extinct anyway. So I'm going to try to get all my podcasting out right now.
Feels like a very liberal estimate, no? Like 15 years? Like, wow.
It's generous. Yeah, it's generous. Very generous. Yeah.
Yeah. Feels good. Chappelle, you're a Walking Dead fan?
So I was a day one fan, and then like most people with good sense, I dropped off right around the time Glenn died.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember when he fake died, and I was devastated, and then when he came back, I was like, oh, he's going to die soon, and being familiar with the comics a little bit, I knew that he was going to die in a very gruesome way, but I want to go on record and say that I knew Abraham was dying too. So when everyone was trying to figure out what's going on, I was like, it's just, they wouldn't make you wait like a whole year just to show Glenn die, who we all know is going to die. And I thought about it and I said, well, who's the least, like, who would hurt, but not hurt enough, but would hurt, you know, hurt. So, and it was Abraham, and I was very proud of myself, but then I stopped watching the show shortly after. It wasn't that Glenn died. It was that they allowed Negan to walk around, like, just like everything was normal. Yeah. He went to jail and then he got out. I was like, wait, no, this person murdered Glenn in cold blood in front of everybody. He has to go. And he didn't. So I had to go, but I came back. I'm back. I kind of follow Fear a lot more now that Morgan's on there. He's my bridge to Fear.
Yeah.
But I'm starting this new season fresh. I'm trying to see what Beyond has for me, you know, has in store for me. So I'm excited and I'm ready.
So Jess, we did not podcast about any of season 5 of Fear of the Walking Dead that I can recall.
No, we didn't. I think the last thing I remember us talking about, and we may have gone a little bit further beyond this, the last thing I remember us talking about was saving everybody from death with the healing power of beer.
Right, right. So in season 4, everyone like had some sort of toxic poisoning that beer could heal. And so they drank all of Jimbo's beer as Jimbo was splat on the ground somewhere. And they had his beer and they drank his beer and that brought them back to life. And we were both like, okay, that's a choice. And I think that we got tied up in other things and Fear of the Walking Dead just didn't seem like a major priority. But as we're going to be talking about Fear of the Walking Dead this season, I feel like we need to at least set the stage on where we were. And I don't know how well either of you remember Fear the Walking Dead season 5. But it was basically just like hope, dreams, friendship. We got this. It was like a lot of that over and over and over again until a woman named Virginia shows up and strips all of that away and captures all of our heroes and brings them into her weird little community that we haven't seen yet. That she seems to be the person in charge of this new like group of like sort of Negan, like the West Coast Negans, the West Coast she's saviors.
Like, she's like Negan meets the governor. Mm-hmm. It's like if Negan and the governor had a daughter,
that's
who Virginia is.
This is her. She's grown up on the West Coast and has all sorts of, she's got like a hat. It's a very cool hat that she's got is like her Negan leather jacket. And she's captured all of our people. And then like, she really hated Morgan because Morgan was the one who was constantly being like, hope, dreams, friendship, we got this. And so she shot him. Because they were at some sort of like Western theme park town that that John Dory used to work at, and that's where they like captured them all. And she shoots him and leaves him for dead. And I believe her final parting words to him are, "I just really don't like your face." I think is what she said to Morgan. And then the final thing you see in season 5 is Morgan like on a radio speaking to everybody who has just been taken and unleashing this broadcast, being like, "Hope. Dream, friendship, we got this." And then a bunch of walkers descending upon him, and we cut to the end of the season. And now the cliffhanger resolution there is that Morgan is, I would stop short of saying totally fine, but mostly totally fine, Chappelle. He seems like he's ultimately doing okay here.
He's like 85% dead. You know, so the walkers have accepted him as their own.
Yeah.
He smells like them. He kind of looks like them at this point, but he's still alive for all intents and purposes. So I'm happy to see that Morgan survived that because I did not think it was going to be a possibility. His eyes, though.
What's up with his eyes?
What's up with his eyes, man? Is that a product of the gangrene? I'm not a medical professional, but he's scary.
If
Morgan died, I wouldn't be terribly upset.
It's really, really scary. Jess, I feel like maybe Daryl Dixon's knives had teleportative qualities to them. And when he stabbed Beta last week, his eyes zapped across time and space and landed in Morgan's head. Morgan's eyes are terrifying right now. The whole Morgan aesthetic this week, thank God most TVs are not built with smell-o-vision, because it would appear that the smell is what's keeping the walkers away from him.
Yeah, the conjunctivitis is a curious choice on its face, but I think it's almost, it's like a visual cue that he is really gross right now because we cannot smell through the television. And I do have to say, if smell-o-vision were a thing, The Walking Dead would not be as popular as it is right now because I don't think anybody, I think the show has struggled over time to convey exactly how bad everything smells in the zombie apocalypse. And I'm glad they addressed it this week. I'm glad they said, well, if you had a gangrenous wound, maybe somebody's been around, or maybe you even left a steak in the fridge for too long. People understand what that smells like. And it's like, no, everything smells like that now. And even the walkers don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not interested.
Not interested.
It is pretty amazing that I guess like the key to surviving in the zombie apocalypse or one of the unwritten tactics is to just get yourself so close to death's door that you reek of the dead and they're just not going to bother you. I guess, Chappelle, I just don't know how you would like manage that threat level. Like, how do you keep that line without crossing through death's door? Otherwise, I think it's a pretty good idea to just like constantly be on the verge of death, and then the zombies are going to come and rip you apart.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about me being on the verge of death during a zombie apocalypse. I'm dead, so
I'm gone too. I'm also gone.
All three of us first wave.
Yeah.
Rick killed me, but I think you're right. They've worn, you know, the zombie's skin, you know, to kind of portray that, like, I'm one of you. But it really just seems like it makes them look like they're dead. And they all stink. Everyone stinks. Everyone has a stink. And Morgan smells that much worse than everyone to where the zombies won't even touch him. Like, if a zombie won't eat you, it's like, he must be like Arby's or something. Like, he's completely avoiding. Like, they're just like, I mean, hitting a beeline away from him. So, I don't think you should have to get shot and left in a old west like theme park for dead and, you know, rot from the inside out with a bullet inside you just to escape the zombie apocalypse. Again, I choose death, but you know, yes, some people want to live like that. I was rooting for Morgan to die. I think somebody put him out of his misery.
It seems to me that he may be surrounded by a particularly like picky bunch of walkers. Like, I don't want that. You know,
yeah. It's really interesting to me that you don't know at first that it's the rotting wound that is why the walkers don't want him. And, you know, Isaac runs up to him and is like, oh, hey, they don't want you. You can help me out. Yeah. Let me get you a little bit better. And then the minute he's a little bit better, the zombies are like, they're interested again. They're like, oh, hey, that guy isn't going to make me sick after all. Maybe I will eat him.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're starting to get some interest. But I think that this episode, it's not only like they're letting you know that, like, yeah, we're never going to kill Morgan. Morgan will never die. Morgan is here forever. This is the Morgan show. We're never going to stray away from that. Like, if they were ever going to kill Morgan, it would have happened through him getting shot and being left for dead. This is a pretty declarative statement to me, Jess, that...
Josh, if they can show someone being eviscerated and shove them under a dumpster for several episodes and then have them come out alive only to have them murdered in the middle of the next season, pretty brutally and viciously in a way that makes the innards look kind of tame. I think anybody can die. And we've killed off the main protagonist of this show several times already.
So you think that I'm setting myself up for tragedy at some point down the line. You still think that Morgan might be in trouble?
I mean, Morgan's the first person we met in this entire universe, and he's still standing after everybody else that's been like the main character of a Walking Dead franchise is gone. But I also think there's a strong possibility that someday Lenny James is going to get bored with this and he's going to say, F you guys, just feed me to the zombies, and then they'll do it.
Yeah. I don't know. How many truckfuls of money do they need to back up to Lenny James's house, Chappelle, to keep him in the Walking Dead universe forever?
It seems like he has a good gig going, but I mean, it's got to be exhausting, right? Like, by now, I mean, like you said, he was the first one we met in the entire universe. I mean, at least by now, the flu should have taken him out or something. You know? Like, he's survived a lot. So, Josh, I don't necessarily agree with you. We've seen people die from much less. We've seen people die from much more. And for some reason, he's still here. So I think it's just a matter of time, honestly. Yeah, I don't think Morgan's long.
I just think they love him. I just think they love him. I don't think that they want to get rid of him. I think that they love him too much. And I think that nobody, like, there's no character in the Walking Dead universe that the Walking Dead writers enjoy reinventing more than Morgan.
Because they have no idea who he is.
This is like Morgan. Ever. This is like Morgan 8.0. I feel like we're getting in this episode where, like, he, you know, he was like, "I'm just surviving," and then we saw him again in season 3 of the main Walking Dead. He's like, "Now I'm killing everyone," and then we saw him come back in and join everybody in Alexandria. He's like, "I killed a lot of people, and now I'm not going to kill anybody." And then we saw him during the All Out War. He's like, "I'm going to kill everybody again, that again," and then we saw him be like, "I feel really guilty that I let myself kill people again. So I'm going to leave and I'm never going to kill anyone again. And I'm going to be all about hope and dreams and friendship. We can do this." And now at the end of this episode, he cuts off the head of that one super cool bad guy, dude. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to kill you. And I guess I'm not Morgan anymore. I'm something else." It's like, so
he's Thor. He went for the head.
Yeah. Morgan Mavericks is dead. This is Morgan Mountain Lion.
Yeah. Oh, he's gosh. Like, he's in like a totally new groove now. And so, like, once again, Morgan's killing, but, like, I'm looking forward to him being like, "Yeah, I'm killing people now, but only the ones who deserve it." Like, what sort of, like, philosophical musings are we going to get on the latest evolution of Morgan Jones? I think I'm partly raw about this because I felt like the bounty hunter with the axe seemed like that's a cool character to have in the universe.
They wasted him. Yeah. It was one episode, really. That was like what was that? Javier Bardem walking around with the little
with the cattle thing.
Yeah, like this was the guy. I thought like, oh, this is going to be compelling. Morgan has like a smaller, you know, villain in the meantime while he runs from Virginia, and nope. Morgan got the best of him. So I feel like that was like the most exciting thing that I've seen on Fear in a while.
Yeah.
And it's gone now. So, you know, for all those people who really love this show. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gearing up for like Fear the Walking Dead, The Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Like it had the same aesthetic. We got our color back. That's exciting. Because I was getting really sick of that stupid filter on everything, but it was very cinematic. This guy was cool looking. You could have sold a million action figures of him. And that's always the sign that you have an interesting character in the Walking Dead universe because you have an outfit and a weapon and you could play him in the video game or you could even buy a little doll of him.
He had a look
and he would have been like, now you might get to get an action figure of him if you go to Comic-Con and get like the special limited edition thing that they only sell at the Walking Dead booth. But you could have gone into Walmart and bought this guy if you'd kept him around for longer. So,
yeah, I was really surprised that they killed this guy off. But I think like part of it is like, let's introduce a really badass character who seems like he could be like a so much of like an individual that he could like carry his own Walking Dead show, and let's kill him in one episode. This will be like a mission statement for what we're going to be able to do on the show this year. Because one of the things that the showrunners, Andrew Goldberg and Ian Chambliss have been saying is that this season of, The Walking Dead is going to be, it's going to be anthological. Like every episode is going to be like its own little movie. It's going to be focusing on a different set of characters every single time, which makes sense because all of our characters are, and there's like a 100 characters, so you could certainly get 16 episodes focusing on just like one group of characters each time. That it's going to be, you know, these are going to be things that are going to like weave together to one greater story, but they're going to feel like their own little movies. So if this is like the bad guy who is going up against Morgan in this episode, and then they're going to kill him off, like they may as well do that because that's not going to be the same guy who's going up against like Alicia and Strand seem to be what we'll focus on next week. So
what if it's just like a different guy every time?
Like, oh, look at this. And he dies at the end.
He's like a Spinal Tap drummer.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's got a cool weapon. This guy's got like gardening implements and he wears bright yellow rain boots and we're going to kill him at the end. And now here's the next guy. And
yeah, it's like I like it. The vampire formula of like, who's the monster today?
And then at the monster end, she the wins. Week.
Yeah, monster of the week. So
I like that.
I don't love it. I don't. I think this guy had some potential.
He had like legs.
He was Negan-esque. You know, he had his Lucille and, you know, he did throw it in a field allegedly. So Yeah, I thought this guy had something to go for him. And, you know, Morgan, I'm not mad that Morgan, you know, had to do what he had to do, but, you know, we could have got some more content out of
him. Did he did he name his axe? Did we get a name of this
guy? I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think
so. Well, he had a dog, so he could name his dog. Yeah. So he had something to name.
Right.
Will we see the dog again?
Yeah, the dog's not dead.
Yeah. The dog was hanging out with the woman and the baby.
Yeah.
The dog was like, okay, good. I don't have to bounty hunt anymore. I can just be someone's pet. That's awesome. I'm here.
Do we think that this, Jess, is an origin story for Daryl Dixon's dog? Is this dog going to cross the continent, Walking Dead World Beyond style, and find Daryl and be his dog? Because I do think right now in Fear of the Walking Dead, we're earlier than the main Walking Dead.
They have to recast that dog then, because Daryl Dixon's dog was like a German Shepherd and this is like a bloodhound.
Mm.
They don't even think maybe they're related somehow. Maybe they have a common ancestor if you go far enough up the dog family tree. But yeah, I think these are just like the last two dogs left alive. And hopefully, like, maybe they could meet. Maybe there could be a crossover event. They could meet and one of them could be a dog girl fight. Dog. And then we'd have like Walking Dead puppies.
I ship it. Huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Dog and Rufus. They're my OTP.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the Josiah, I think it was his name, the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
He had a picture of Morgan, but I don't remember him meeting up with anybody to get that photo. I mean, it looked like it was hand drawn, but he was like, have you seen this guy? And I would like to know where he got that picture.
I think Virginia has a sketch artist on retainer.
I was because it was a brilliant photo. His eyes looked amazing. I was like, wow, he really captured all of the life behind Morgan's eyes before Morgan died and came back to life. And it was working. I just don't understand, like, who was the sketch artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Maybe,
is it possible that Virginia comes from like an artist commune and there's just like a bunch of like different like they've got like potters?
She does give me artists. She's kind of artsy looking. Yeah. So I didn't understand that. Like, it's kind of like, hey, I need you to go get a guy named Morgan. Also, here's a list of things that can help you find him, including this hand-drawn photo, his scent as well, because the dog was searching for him. I was just like, how did we get here?
I think I can answer this actually.
Okay.
Because at the end of last season, didn't they take all of the tapes, like all of the interview tapes, the documentary footage.
Right, right.
They watched it back. They just had somebody who was like a decent artist sit there and watch that footage. Like, just hit the pause button. This is a good frame. Just draw this and then we will duplicate it a few times.
That was the thing that was, again, a hallmark of Fear of the Walking Dead was like the documentary style, like office episodes. Like there were a few episodes that were just like, this is what it's like to fight for hope, friendship and dreams, and we can do this. Like, it was just like they went and like had like I think like two or three different episodes at least about in like at least quasi documentary style, if not full on. So I think that's a good pull. I think that, and we get the sense here too, right? Like that Isaac and his wife, like they knew who Morgan was, like they knew him from the tapes and stuff. So yeah, I think like maybe Morgan's like a local celebrity.
They probably had like, movie night in Virginia's village. They probably had like, they didn't have anything new. Like they were just sick of watching Weekend at Bernie's for the 9,000th time, but we got some new footage. Let's just watch this. So everybody's seen it. Everybody knows who all these people are.
Yeah.
The kids fell in love with Morgan and they're drawing pictures of him and putting them on their refrigerators. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with folk that. Hero.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So he's now someone new. Who is he? Who is Morgan? Is he going to have a new name? He's certainly like he's coming after Virginia, right? So is he just going to try and like get the band back together and take over this new community? Like, what do we think if this is like the launch episode for this character, where do we think it's going for the season arc, Jess? Like, do you think that this is like signaling to you at all where we're going for the entirety of season 6 of Fear?
Yeah, I think honestly, this is going to look a lot like Magnificent 70. He's going to go out and he's going to find his people, bring his people back together. I'm hoping that the new guy, like he's just going to exclusively go by Momo now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would land a lot harder if we had not, as we've already discussed, if we had not reinvented Morgan every three episodes since season one of the show, the flagship show.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't know who Morgan is, so why do we care if he's somebody new now? He was somebody new before that, and he was somebody else new before that. Yeah, not into it. I think any other character doing this transformation, like, okay, hear me out. What if it had been Strand that underwent a reinvention and he's like, Victor Strand is dead. I'm a new guy now. Yeah. He's been consistent at least. Like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a long term, you know, he's one of the OGs from Fear, right? So
yeah, we knew him, him and Alicia, and that's it.
Yeah. We knew him since season one. So if you do a you know, reinvention now, it's kind of like, oh, that makes sense. Like, we've waited. We've used all of his old material, and now it's time for a new Strand. And Morgan, we get a new Strand of Morgan every other week.
So. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. So I'm with Jess on this one.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. On the tip of Josiah, by the way, so showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, in their interview with Dalton Ross at EW, mentioned that this character did mention having a brother when he was at the campfire. So that's just something to keep in mind. So
is it a twin brother?
Yeah.
Could it be an identical twin?
Are we going to get an identical twin?
Is this Passions?
You know, they really haven't leaned on that option too much in the world of The Walking Dead. You know, in fact, I don't know that they've pulled that trigger. I think like 100 seasons deep into the franchise at this point, have they not earned the right to like pull the identical twin card? I think that they've got it. I think that
maybe after the musical, after the musical episode, like then like you can pull the identical twin card at that point.
I would like that.
Yeah, could you imagine like Morgan is walking and he's staring down Virginia, and then all of a sudden he sees the silhouette of the guy whose head he chopped off on episode one, and he's like, "You, I killed you." He's like, "No, you didn't.
I want that. I want
Josiah,
that.
It's dead.
I want that for us. I think that'd be great. I gotta say, like, jokes aside, I enjoyed the vibe of this episode. I actually I liked it more than I liked pretty much the entirety of season five of Fear the Walking Dead. So if this is a tone setter for the rest of the season, then like, I think at least it'll be fun. You know, and I think it's like, it was at least shocking that he killed that guy. And so I appreciated that. It was something that I was not anticipating. I didn't expect that he would just like kill that guy. So like, all right. So you've got the capacity to surprise me six seasons into the show. Let's see what you can do in the weeks ahead.
Oh yeah. Wait. But he, not only did he chop his head off, he put it in a box like that movie with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing ever.
She, this, like, opens the seven?
Box. This is seven.
Yeah.
And heads are even better in the zombie apocalypse, because if you don't like stab them through the cerebellum or whatever,
yeah,
they still keep moving. So you open the box and it's like, hi.
Yeah.
And I think that's very cool. Yeah. And like, they just keep chomping and chomping. I think that's a really cool trick to bringing heads to people in the zombie apocalypse.
I agree.
But I do have one thing that this show did very well, and one thing that made me very angry at this episode. So I want to start with the thing they did well. I think it was cool. Like, you get a real sense of how people are doing in Virginia's world on your first glance. And we've seen her before, but they're all wearing clean clothes and they've all taken showers, and she has a fabulous hair game.
Yeah.
Like, with the hat perched right on top of these perfect, like, beachy waves. She is clean, and everybody else out there in the world is very dirty, and we know that they smell bad. And you can tell that Virginia smells like, you know, sandalwood and cinnamon if you get up close to her. And I think you can tell like who the bad guys are and who the good guys are at a glance, because the bad guys have taken a shower and the good guys have not. And it's a really effective visual cue.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And so the thing that made me angry. If you have just given birth and then your husband dies in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you are not going to be physically capable of dragging his body out of the building and stacking 6,000 15-pound stones on top of his body and leaving a grave marker. That is not something you do after you've just pushed a human being out of your body. And I speak from experience here. I could barely walk for about a week. It's not okay, man.
This episode was written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, the showrunners of Fear the Walking Dead. So,
do they have a woman in their writer's
room? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure. But it's a good point. You raise a good point. You know, like if we can forgive that Morgan just smells so bad that even zombies don't want to eat him, can we not forgive this? Is this too implausible?
It's kind of a bridge too far. And my other question is, what is going to happen to this woman after, you know, because Isaac's dead.
Yeah.
She has a newborn. Morgan took her horse.
Like, she has a dog.
She's got a dog, but is the dog going to go like gather supplies for her?
Hopefully she's it's really like a Lassie type, right? Like just a very helpful dog.
She's really, really screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. this poor lady. Yeah.
Do you think Morgan's just going to abandon her and never go back?
Yes.
Chappelle says yes.
Do you remember when Morgan like body slammed Carol? I was like, okay, this guy is different. Poor lady. I'm sorry for that lady.
That's tough.
Tough life, baby.
Yeah, that's tough. That's hard. All right, let's talk. Speaking of tough life babies, The Walking Dead World Beyond, aka The Walking Dead's very own version of Muppet Babies. We've got all these cute, look at these cute little kids, these little endlings. Look at these little endlings trying to survive the end of the world. Look at these sweet little darlings. The Walking Dead World Beyond going full young adult. This is a brand new series. It premiered last week. We didn't really talk about it, so we got to kind of just like set the stage on what this is. It takes place a decade into the apocalypse. It's a community in Nebraska. It's a bunch of sweet little kids. We don't know they don't know the hardships. They weren't on Herschel's farm. They didn't have to go to Grady Hospital and deal with Officer Dawn. You know, they weren't on the road from Atlanta to Alexandria and beyond. These kids, they saw the sky fall and they were like four, and now they're, you know, 14, 15, and they lived a charmed life and they don't know what's going on. So we can take on the end of the world. That's no problem. We could go from Nebraska all the way to New York State on our own, I guess, 8 feet, because there's four of them, and be just like totally fine. And that's going to be great. And we don't have to worry about anything. We're definitely not going to encounter zombies and puke on them because they're so gross, because we've never seen a zombie before. That's the spirit of The Walking Dead World Beyond. It is intended to be the Stand By Me of The Walking Dead universe. And stars a bunch of just these cute little rascals. They got a little adventure to go on. So I'd like to get everybody's thoughts going around the table here of what we're thinking of The Walking Dead World Beyond. We've got two episodes now. We know a little bit more about the lore. It's like the sky fell and there's this great big tire fire, and we got to be with the tire fire is really scary. And then the sky fell. Remember that? It's starting to expand the mythology ever so slightly. Jess, are you in on The Walking Dead World Beyond two episodes deep?
Josh, I have so many thoughts.
Number one, where do I get that sweet, sweet brown suit that Elton is rocking?
Oh, because yes,
I want one of those.
Elton, okay.
Elton. Yeah. Elton. Yeah. And Elton's my man. Elton's my new favorite Walking Dead character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always, in my head, whenever somebody calls him Elton, I'm hearing Clueless. I'm not even thinking about Elton John.
Yeah, rolling with the homies. Yeah. Ty? Why would I ever want to go with Ty?
I mean, you don't think we mesh well? You're a virgin who can't drive.
So I'm just going to call him Elton for the rest of the thing.
Elton.
Yeah. That's going to be what we call him for the rest of the thing. I did like that, because this is Stand By Me in the zombie apocalypse. We got them spending the night in a treehouse and throwing up theatrically. So it was on brand.
Yes.
I have a lot of questions.
They have bowling ball called Big Mo.
Okay,
Big Mo.
That's question number
one,
Josh.
Big Mo.
Big Mo. Big Mo. If you are trying to move swiftly on foot to evade potential captors and also reach your father who is in grave danger, why are you carrying around a 10-pound bowling ball?
Big Mo.
Mo, yeah.
It's Big Mo.
It doesn't even kill zombies.
Part of the group. He's part of the group.
So like
it doesn't even. It's not even useful. It's not useful, and it weighs a lot, and you're just going to carry it everywhere with you.
I hear that. I do. But
you have other people. Point. It's not even a companion. It's not even a Wilson the volleyball thing, because you have other people with you.
Yeah, but he's like sort of the mascot, no? Like, it's like we got Big Mo with us, and so like, Big Mo, you know? And they put him in a backpack, and you walk around with Big Mo. Like, that's going to get you fit, right, as you're trying to cross the country. So like, there's like, you know?
Yeah, it's going to hurt your back.
Yeah, I guess, if you're not wearing it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll want to give up Big Mo at a certain point. That's going to be a hard loss, I do think.
He will sacrifice himself nobly for the good of the group.
Chappelle, the odds that Big Mo sacrifices himself for the good of the group, pretty high that this is going to go down before the end of season one.
110%. We will not see Big Mo make it to the end. R.I.P. Big Mo.
Will he go out in a way that will make us all cry for his loss?
Yes, correct.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah.
This, Josh, I need to know, what exactly, I know you, who's the target audience for this, right?
Yeah.
Because we're grown. I know we don't act like it, but we are.
Right.
And I'm watching these kids, you know, and they're not extremely young kids, but they're giving me like strong Rugrats vibes. because they're not calling anything by its actual name. They have like like childish names for it, like the Aminos and the sky is falling.
Reptar!
And the tires are on fire. And like, God, you grow up. You're trying to walk from Nebraska to New York. What's wrong with you? What the hell is wrong? That girl is supposed to be a scientist. She couldn't think for it. I was fed up. I don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. It was ridiculous. But steal I was a
car.
Fed up.
If you're gonna do this anyway, just like steal a car, take a car. Right. You know, at least put some distance between you and them. See how long the car takes you.
They have to get a vehicle.
In a world. Yeah, they have to live in a world where they're still kids, but like the dumbest kids that ever existed, right? So they don't know that adult things exist. So even when they have the opportunity to live in a house, like, well, let's live in the treehouse. That's cute episode one, but by episode like seven, we don't still need to be having you guys trying to fight the empties and like fighting them hand-to-hand combat, falling into ravines and stuff. Like, at what point are you going to grow up? You left the house knowing that you plan on walking to New York State from Nebraska. and is she trying to get a college degree? They said that she was studying immunology.
Yeah.
What is your degree going to get you a job?
Yeah. Man, are you going to get the degree?
Right. Who's conferring these degrees? What is the...
Did they reopen Harvard?
Yeah.
Right.
They're working on it.
Organization? No, this is not a... I have so many thoughts as well. I'll just say that.
I don't know. Is it not good to have hopes and dreams and
hope
friendship?
Hope is the main character.
And degrees. Yeah.
Maybe they heard somebody talking about Hope on a radio.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's good. Yeah.
Hope's a murderer. Hope's a murderer. Are we going to jump over that?
We're going to go there.
Hope is a murderer, right? Hope killed
Elton's mother.
Yeah.
Elton's mom.
Yeah. It's going to be tough when Elton finds out about that. That's going to be hard. Yeah. So we get the flashbacks to the days of the sky falling. Hope was with her and Iris's mom, and her mom got shot, and so Hope killed the person who shot her mom, and it turns out that person was Elton's mom. That's
and she looted the corpse and carries her jewelry around to remind her.
Yeah.
So Elton just happens to come across this one day.
Yeah.
Like, hey, my mom wore a thing like that. Did you say you shot a woman? How long ago did you kill a
woman? And she was pregnant?
Yeah. Pregnant with my sister.
It's going to be awkward, to say the least, once that...
Yeah, that's going to be a whole episode.
Yeah, well, Elton's walking around with a picture of her in his pocket, too. So, I mean, we're just laying all of it, all the evidence out in front of us and just hoping these kids can put two and two together.
You know, this is a really good question of who is this show for? because, you know, I think it's obviously it's betting on the fact that Walking Dead fans are just going to be interested in anything Walking Dead. But it is it's a young adult show. And yet it airs after Fear the Walking Dead. right? So like, it's already pretty late on a Sunday night. So like, no young adults are, you know, probably like staying up that late, or at least they're not watching Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know, if you're like a 15-year-old kid, are you staying up until like 10, 15 to start watching The Walking Dead World Beyond? I don't think so. I think you got other stuff going on. But that might be a very antiquated way of thinking about how TV is being consumed, because it's like on the AMC app and you can just, you know, watch it whenever you want. That's like very, very Julia Ormond levels of thinking on my end. So I don't really know. So this show is only going to last for two seasons. And that is like cards up. That's what they've said, that this show has an ending. It's going to be two seasons, and then at the end of the second season, that's it. I don't think that was announced as part of the plan initially when they announced The Walking Dead World Beyond. My guess would be that they were like, oh, I don't know who's going to watch this. We should probably just like say that we're going to end this on our own terms and end it quickly, because like, we don't want to be in The Walking Dead World Beyond business for too long. I think like both this and Fear the Walking Dead were shows that were kind of rushed out. Like, it's interesting that like it took as long as it did for us to get like Walking Dead spinoffs, but once they came out, they felt like, yeah, it took a while to get here, but also like the thoughts behind them were like very rushed and not like agreed upon internally. Like, Fear the Walking Dead is supposed to be like a zombie apocalypse origin story, but it's that for 5 seconds, and then they have no idea what they want to do with the show anymore. And I get the vibe that there is maybe something similar going on in World Beyond. And like, the silver lining there is like knowing that there are going to be only two seasons, and that the second season at least was conceived knowing that there would be like an end point in mind. That like, maybe to some degree, like this idea of like, these kids are going to have to grow up fast, and they're going to swiftly realize that going from Nebraska to New York on foot was a shit idea, and many of them will lose their lives along the way. That like, maybe there will be like, that will actually be like a story engine, and like, we'll actually get some payoff there. I'm not highly confident in it, but I'm open to it, I suppose.
Given that their very first move was to walk directly through the middle of a giant tire fire, are we even going to make it to two seasons? Are we going to have replaced the entire cast by the end of the first one? No.
Jess, please. The tire fire was called Blaze of Gory.
Yes, the Blaze of it's Gory.
It's kind of like it said, like, big strong, big thing that will murder you, come right this way. And they were like, well, we could go around it, but that'll set us back a day.
Well, what? The funny thing is, as soon as you started talking about they have their own words for everything, here's what I thought of. I didn't think of Rugrats. I thought of Land Before Time.
Oh, wow. This is
totally a human being remake of Land Before Time. They're like, we got to go to the Great Valley to get our tree sweets.
Yeah. I like the sharp teeth are coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they should have just gone full Land Before Time and called the empties the sharp teeth.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. And Josh made a point that they're probably going to die. But what are the odds that any of them survive this? I mean, at this point, look, we got to start counting Silas out at this point, right? Silas is dead.
Silas is too quiet. Like, they're just, I think Silas is toast. If we were to do a draft of like who goes first, like, I think it's Silas, then Elton, and then take your pick between Iris and Hope. They're probably
then Iris, because Hope has to be like the last one alive, because she's Hope.
Yeah, we got to keep Hope alive.
Yeah, we got to keep Hope alive. That is definitely how they planned that. Can we talk a little bit about the two grown-ups that are after them?
Oh, Felix and
Hook.
And Hunk. People call me Hook.
Yeah.
Hook. God, who is this person on the show?
I'm going to botch the pronunciation of her name. Annette Mahendru, I think. She is. She played Nina on The Americans. Really, really great performance on that show. And so, like,
and she goes from that to this.
I'm like, so I went to the New York Comic Con panel last year of The Walking Dead World Beyond, where they had like all the actors out, and she was there, and she's like, this is the most fun I've ever had playing a character. And like, I think that translates, actually. Like, I think it's pretty clear that she's having a great time. It's just like, she's operating as if she's like, all right, I know this show sucks, so I'm just going to go for it. Like, so she's like kind of just like doing like a totally different thing.
I'm going to be the worst character who ever lived, and I'm just going to devour this scenery whole. Yeah.
I'm kind of here for Felix and Huck. I think that they're great.
That's a spinoff show right there. Yeah. Felix and Huck. They call me Hook.
Yeah, they call me Huck. I'm here for
it's
it.
A long story. They call me Huck.
Yeah. Hello, high-level diplomat. They call me Huck.
They call me Huck. It's a long story. I'm not explaining. Like, oh, okay. I like it.
I only have two seasons. We can't explain this.
Are we ever going to get the origin story of why they call her Huck?
I don't know.
They're going to actually, as soon as something interesting is about to happen, it will end the episode on a cliffhanger, and then we get the Huck origin story. That's what they're saving it for.
We'll have to wait 2 weeks and then a mid-season finale to get the actual, like, what happens on the cliffhanger. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
How long until they catch up with the group? Because at a certain point, like, if it takes too long, then, like, either the kids are like improbably good at what they are doing, or the adults are improbably bad at what they are supposed to be doing. So, like, you got to get them in the same scenes together, like, probably by like episode 5 before it starts to really stress test the limits of like how good these people are all supposed to be at what they are currently setting out to do.
Yeah, it is true.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, because if you think about it, maybe if I'm Huck and I'm tracking these kids, I'm thinking, they didn't walk through the giant blaze of fire, right?
Like, who would be so stupid to do that? Stupid?
I mean, she's a scientist, for God's sake. I mean, she just did, like, the keynote speech. So she wouldn't have done that. So they're probably about 60 miles out of the way. So I think it'll buy us about 5 episodes, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, unless Hope left them a note at the entrance to the tire fire. Dear Felix, we walked through the giant tire fire. See you later.
They said, I wonder which one this is from. Is this from Hope or is this from Iris?
This is an Elton joint for sure.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about that, because there's a lot of whys to this show. And if we are going to be doing a podcast about it, Josh, we need to delve into why, because we are not going to get very far without trying to unpack these things. And chief among them is, why is Hope leaving notes for the people that are chasing her? Is she taunting them, or does she want to be captured? I don't understand. And the second one is, if everything in the Civic Republic, I keep calling it the Civil Union, and that's not right. It's the Civic Republic. Yeah. If everything there is so super secret hush, and they actually live thousands of miles away, and there are two settlements that are thousands of miles apart, which beggars belief to begin with, and we can't know anything about them, why is the first thing the leader does to give them a map to where their father is and say, I just wanted to let you know where he is. I don't think you're actually going to go after him, and then go and murder everybody when they realize they made their mistake.
Yeah, the ending of the first episode was really confusing to me. So let's just settle that here, because I, from a lot of people who watched the show that I heard from, was like, wait, what just happened? So is Nebraska done? Did they kill everybody in Nebraska? Did Julio Armand just, like, torch the place?
I think so.
It looks like it.
I can't tell if they let zombies in, or if, and then they were just, like, cleaning up their mess, or if they really just, like, slaughtered everybody.
Yeah, and this is after they give them the map, and so they wanted the girls to escape.
I would expect so. Yeah. Like, this feels like some sort of like mustache twirling, like, master plan. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk about Julio Armand?
Yeah, of course.
So this other colony was colonized by the Brits, obviously, because this woman has a strong accent that I can't quite place. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out how she ended up here and the head of this army. And
Elizabeth Kublik. Kublik?
Yes.
Is her name.
Yeah, I don't listen. What? Where is she from? She's not from Nebraska. Nebraska.
She was an adjunct professor in Portland, Oregon, which is where the CRM is based out of. Jess, is that right?
They won't tell you where it's based out. There's another settlement in Portland.
In Portland, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, Josh, it might be not in Portland.
Oh, true. So they're from the Lost Island.
From the Lost Island.
Maybe they are. Maybe their headquarters is in Europe. You know,
could be. They're
commuting
and stuff. Yeah. This it was odd. It was all odd. I'm more invested in the kids. I'm not gonna lie. I'm more invested in the kids and their shenanigans than whatever just happened at the settlement. I literally saw that and said, "Oh, okay. Well, I wonder what the kids are gonna do." You know, and so, yes. But I wonder if anybody else survived. Like, we met other people at that settlement that mattered, I think.
Well, yeah. They're all gone.
Yeah, they're gone. So, we got six characters to deal with. I think that's at least that didn't put a lot on our plate.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I appreciate that. I agree. I think I left the episode being like, all right, so we've chosen to podcast about this. And I don't feel like I've got a lot of clarity to say anything, to clear anything up in terms of like, why did Elizabeth Kublik destroy the Nebraska community? Why was that a thing that they did? Is that indeed what she did, or were they just cleaning up the mess? I don't really know. I feel like whether that was a matter of like the show was not explaining it well or I lost interest, I don't know. It's one of those two things, if not both. What I decided was, look at these cute little kids. Look at these sweet little endlings that are going to go off on this journey to try and do something with themselves. You know, they've got 15 years left. We're the last one standing. It's just us. We're the endlings. You know, there's no more after us. We're the last generation. Let's have some fun. Let's party. And they got into all of that. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be on board with the endlings. I choose to believe in the endlings. I'm here to see what kinds of, you said the word, Chappelle, the shenanigans they're going to get into.
Hijinks.
You know, what kind of hijinks are we getting into? What sort of pranks are they going to pull on their cross-country road trip? And it's a low-stakes investment. It's two seasons. We'll probably lose a few of them along the way. Yeah, protect Elton at all costs as long as we can. And I don't know. I'm just gonna hope for the best for these little rugrats. I'm here for that. I'm here for just like what sort of like really ridiculous thing are they gonna put these children through every single week? Jess, it is a shame that Rob is not watching The Walking Dead: World Beyond, because this would be the complete opposite of extremely his shit.
This is like a Walking Dead spinoff that contains Henry and Ollie and Charlie.
Yeah. this is designed to break Rob Sesternino.
Yes, it is. I think we need to get him into it. Yeah. Like, we'll tell him it's secretly great and that he's missing like the TV event of 2020. And then let's make him watch the whole thing.
I have to up my patron amount so I can see the live footage of this happening, because Rob's reaction is going to be great.
Oh God. Oh man. All right. Well, we'll see if we can hook them into anything. Anything else from World Beyond for either of you that stood out about this show over the course of the first two episodes that you wanted to talk about here?
What do you got, Jess?
I can talk about, I think it's really interesting that the casting of Felix to be someone who sort of resembles like dollar store Rick Grimes, which we also had dollar store Rick Grimes in Isaac in the Fear the Walking Dead episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden, they're just casting people that sort of kind of remind you of Rick, to remind you of the show that you once enjoyed watching.
That he's gone.
And I think Felix has an interesting story. I like the LGBT representation. I like that we found out a little bit of his background this episode. Don't understand why he paused in this urgent search for four teenagers on the run to go stop by his old house.
Well, he hasn't been there in a long time,
I guess, but...
Hey, Felix, where'd you go? I went to kill my parents, but...
Yeah.
You know? Great Cavalier.
Yeah, he's played by Nico Tortorella, who I never saw younger. I don't know if either of you watched Younger, but was if not the star of Younger, then a starring role on that show. I know a bunch of people really enjoyed that. He was one of the, did either of you watch The Following, the Kevin Bacon show on Fox? Is like the serial killer. It was about a serial killer who had like a cult. And so like he had like a bunch of like cultists that, were going and like carrying out his serial killing, while he was like stuck in prison. And, Nico Tortorella played one of those cultists. So I remember him from that first season of The Following, and I enjoyed him there. So I was excited when he got cast here. I think he's got the last name of one of my best friends on the planet, Carlucci. So I like Felix Carlucci as a name, I think is good. I like him. I like Felix and Huck. I'm in on Felix and Huck. I want to see. I also want to see what kind of like sort of shine. Like you know, we talked about the wrong Josh Brolin yesterday, Chappelle. Like I feel like I want to see like it's like the Goonies dynamic, right? Of like he's like he's the older brother. It's the older brother and like his friend and like oh my. My kids' siblings got out of town, and I got to go bring them back before they run into
the
Fratellis.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. So yeah. I look forward to seeing what they do with those characters.
Yeah, it's like a buddy cop film.
Yeah.
I guess my last thought of the episode was the young lady had a therapist, which I thought was such a good moment for this. You know, in this time in a zombie apocalypse, like. People need therapy.
Yes.
Only for her to go to her therapist's office hours and to find out that she was now a zombie and to get attacked by her therapist. Who is going to counsel this young woman now?
Don't have any therapists. That was the last one.
That was it.
And she looked like she wasn't long for this world anyway. Like, if y'all are conferring degrees, a psychology degree, a counseling certification probably wouldn't hurt, because that's probably why these kids decide to walk across the country at the drop of a hat. So that was my biggest takeaway. I thought that was very insightful. Like, hey, you know, look how developed they are, only for them to burn the whole thing to the ground and murder the one mental health professional within 100 miles.
Yeah, that's a shame. I do think that they could use more of that in the world of the apocalypse. More therapists is probably a good call. And I do think, like, if she hadn't passed away, that probably the show is very different. You know, probably we're not getting a cross-country road trip. So the therapist has to die so that the endlings may probably also ultimately die.
Yeah, for sure.
But live first.
Well, the therapist is also the only person who seems to care what the sisters are up to.
Yeah.
Like, Felix is really not bothered by it. The principal of their school kind of cares in that Hope does some things that piss them off.
Yeah.
But everybody else is just like, they could disappear and like nobody cares. So the therapist would be like, oh, huh, Iris missed her appointment. I wonder what's up with that. So, yeah, she definitely did have to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's The Walking Dead World Beyond through two episodes so far. Next week, we go through the tire fires, I think, a little bit more, it looks like. So that should be fun. That'll be cool. We can talk about tire fires. Fear the Walking Dead looks like it's going to get into some Alicia and Strand stuff next week. So that'll be fun, I think. Either way, the podcast will be fun. His first voyage into the Fear of the Walking Dead World Beyond universe was a delight. Chappelle, where can people find you aside from every podcast in the existence of podcast?
Thank you again for having me on the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. That's CHAPPELLS_show. I'm just tweeting about Big Brother right now. But if you want to talk about The Walking Dead, we can. I mean, I guess.
I feel like you're not just tweeting about Big Brother, because I see your tweets and I have most Big Brother terms muted. So,
I'll have a conversation with anybody about anything. Like, I look at Twitter as a big chat room with all my friends, even though I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And so if you tweet me, I'm going to respond unless it's rude. And so if you want to have a random conversation with me, then follow me on Twitter. If not, leave me alone. It's cool.
Chappelle is going to be back on Post Show Recaps later this week. We've already recorded part one of what will be a two-part Survivor Endgame Brant Steele simulation featuring characters from Avengers Endgame for the Everything is Super podcast. A three-hour pre-merge, Chappelle. How was that?
The longest thing I've ever done in my life. I was like, you know, this podcast thing really isn't all that. It's cracked up to me.
No, really. Sometimes it's not. But the podcast itself will be great. It was just enduring the physical undertaking of doing the podcast was a lot.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't ready. I was not ready. I forgot I was going to be on Post Show Recaps again this week. Wow.
Yeah, so
thank you, Josh.
That's coming out later this week, so keep an eye out for that. I think that'll drop on Thursday is the current plan. Jess, you are not only here in the zombie apocalypse, but you've got stuff happening elsewhere on Post Show Recaps and in the RHAP universe as well. If you want to plug what you're working on.
Yeah, that's right. I'm here in the zombie apocalypse. I'm also out in space 3,000 years into the future as Mike Bloom and I tackle Star Trek Discovery. We have a half preview podcast, half summation of everything that happened on Star Trek Lower Decks, which Mike loved and I tolerated. We have lots of opinions on that. That dropped at the end of last week and is very fun and help you get hype for the premiere of season 3 of Discovery, which is dropping this week. And then I'm also off on a race around the world as we're covering season 32 of The Amazing Race. That's also with Mike Bloom and with Rob Cesternino. And we're bringing you a lot of very fun content surrounding that because Rob is not going to have anything better to do once Big Brother is over. So we're kind of monopolizing his time and making him cover Amazing Race very deeply, which he would love almost as much as he would love being here talking about this with us. And then finally, I've got an article on The Bachelorette dropping on primetimer.com tomorrow. So I do not know. From what I hear about this upcoming season, it's going to be super bonkers. So it may be worth checking out.
I started seeing commercials for it. I think the advertising is starting to come out for The Bachelorette. And there was one person at the end. I've never watched the show, so I don't know who anybody is. But the host is like, congratulations, you just blew up The Bachelorette. It's like, oh, that's exciting. That's like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's actually, when you hear about what happens, it will make you want to watch the season. Like, I'm not a super fan of that universe. There are more capable minds than I who cover that for us. But as soon as I heard about what happens, I'm like, I need to see how this plays out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. We've got tons of other stuff happening in the Post Show Recaps universe. You can subscribe to the main feed. You could also become a patron of Post Show Recaps. You can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Show your support for the podcast. Join the community. Look into all the different ways you can get involved. Lots of really fun stuff at your disposal. We'll be back next week, speaking of disposal, talking about more Fear the Walking Dead, World Beyond. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.